is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that? Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I want to make a comparison between the mismanagement of the Patriots and the Red Sox. How come no one's talking about how the Patriots traded Garoppolo to San Francisco and mismanaged that in comparison to what the Red Sox did in hiring Alex Cora when they had Torey Lovallo in the bond, and he won 93 games last year with Arizona and almost took them to a division title?
So I think the Torey Lovallo thing's a good second guess. They hung on Farrell a year too long.
I mean, that's what I think.
A year or two.
You know, they had done that contract with Lovallo, rewarding him as a bench coach, and to me, he was the successor. They basically lined him up as a successor, and then they let him go. I mean, what a mistake. Now, look, Cora might be good. Who the hell knows? Like, I'm not going to pull the plug on Cora after one game. I have no idea. But yesterday was not a good start.
Jimmy, what did Maz give Cora for a grade? Jimmy Stewart, what did Maz give Cora for a grade on yesterday's opener?
It wasn't good.
Can't remember exactly what it was.
F for Alex Cora. So, F.
Jim in Beverly, your thoughts on J.D. Martinez yesterday.
Hey, guys. Hey, Mike, before I get to J.D. Martinez on the space station, I was listening to a former NASA astronaut that's been up to one of the other space stations. We have the technology to shoot it, but we can't shoot it because we can get shrapnel going everywhere. So instead of this big hunk of junk falling out of the sky, everybody gets shrapnel.
Yeah, pick your poison, you know.
Yeah,
Jim, it's going to disintegrate when it comes through the atmosphere anyway. It's going to break into pieces anyway,
they think.
No, it's not, man. It's going to be pieces. Let me ask you another question. If it hits my deck, can I sue the Chinese government? Am I out to lunch on that one?
I don't think you can sue the Chinese government. Quickly, Jim, your phone sucks.
So just, Maz, J.D. Martinez, did you see his last at-bat?
I saw the one where he struck out on a fastball away.
Just give me impressions on J.D. Martinez after a game.
He doesn't look right to me. And again, and that's assuming that the scouting reports on him are all accurate, and I believe they are. I mean, he's been around long enough where the data's out there. He's a guy who drives the ball to right center. He looked to me like his swing was off. He got a ball in the middle of the plate and another one away that were tailor-made to hit the opposite way, and he didn't hit either one. He looked to me like he was out in front. So, you know, his timing could just be off. I don't think there's a reason to panic there yet, but he wasn't right yesterday.
Who was right yesterday, Mass?
Bogaerts. Who else? What are you getting at? You getting at something?
I'm not getting anything. Bogaerts,
oh, no,
was
you're
right?
Picking at me because you think I'm Mr. Negativity.
No, not at all.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing.
Not at all. I'm saying who was right. Giancarlo Stanton was right.
Giancarlo Stanton was awesome.
So that's what we're talking about. That's, unfortunately, Martinez versus Stanton's going to be there every single day. Because that's what...
No, good. That's not unfortunate.
And you know what? Even if, as a lot of callers like to say, I don't believe it, that Stanton didn't want to come here and it wasn't going to happen here. If they had explored it, it might have happened, in my opinion. But even if they're right, I just want to be able to put it back at the baseball writers here in town who tell me Martinez is just as good with the better contract. Martinez is just as good. Look at the numbers. Look at the splits. Look at, you know, when I think it's clear that one guy is at this level and the other guy is at that level. And all the convincing of all the arm twisting and pretzel twisting around here, you know, looking at J.D. Martinez's numbers and where you draw the line and, you know, trying to make this statistical case for Martinez being as good as Stanton. I hope that blows up on them.
How can it not? Again, when you watch that guy step into the batter's box and the sheer force with which he hits the ball. Murray, I'm not joking.
No, Maz, it's blatantly obvious. You don't need to look at the stats. Just look at them last year. Anytime you just highlight something. One guy's a Ferrari. The other's a comfortable four-door sedan. The Red Sox got the comfortable four-door sedan. The Yankees got a Ferrari under Carlos Stanton.
I mean, if you didn't know any better, you'd say the guy's on steroids using an illegal bat or they're playing with an illegal ball. Or maybe all of the above.
Just what jumps off the bat.
He hits the ball differently than everybody else. It just, they're absolute freaking rockets.
What did you tell me about the home opener ratings yesterday?
Yankees had their highest ratings on Yes in 7 years. 7 years.
So what do you think the factor is there? What do you think the intangible is there that had those ratings so high? I wonder.
Mi credo Giancarlo.
Cam and Taunton, your thought of the day here on Agenda Free Friday. Go.
As you guys know, there's no event on the sports calendar that I look forward to more than the Masters because it's probably the only event in sports that will deliver every single year for you. Sometimes other big sporting events turn out to be duds. And I can honestly say I have not been more excited for a Masters than I am right now. Between Tiger playing how well he is, Phil's already won this year, Rory's already won this year, all the young guys are playing well. Next week is going to be a show down at Augusta.
Okay, I like it because old guys win, and there's usually a better leaderboard. There's not as many nobodies. And, you know, a star is going to be there on Sunday that you're able to watch and either root for or against. That's usually what happens Sunday at Augusta.
I mean, almost guaranteed, right? Because the course lends itself to it. There will be one great player, at least, who's on his game, who will make shots and make birdies and eagles, and will be in it.
And old guys. I mean, the course keeps old guys in it for some reason.
Because it's largely about putting. Right? I mean, I know they, you know, quote-unquote, tiger-proofed the course years ago, but they all blast the ball a mile now. Mickelson is what, 47, 48 now? I mean, he's up there, right? The Mickelson gets all those par fives and two still. There's no issue there with him. I mean, that is, I told you, I love April. April's the best month on the sports calendar. It is dynamite.
Robin in Weymouth with the Patriots slot on Agenda Free Friday. Hi, Robin.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Intimidated and nervous, so sorry. I had a really quick question. So has anyone ever asked or found out how Jimmy Garoppolo came to choose Don Yee as his representative when it just seems like it might not be possible for him to effectively represent Garoppolo to the Patriots when no one would even know Yee's name if not for Tom Brady? And with the loss of Garoppolo leaving, Brady was reinvigorated when Garoppolo was here and behind him. Is it possible that Brady is going to kind of revert to what we saw back before Garoppolo was drafted on that kind of downswing that he was on? Because with the Tom versus time, the way that he was talking at the end of it, it makes me very nervous for how things might progress.
Robin, those are two good questions. The first one, I have no idea, but it's a great question. Like, what made Jimmy Garoppolo think it was a good idea to have Brady's agent when you're on the same team as Brady and that agent is never going to prioritize you over the other guy? Ever.
Exactly.
Ever. So, you know, and Robin, I think I'll drop you and finish. I think that Yee did well for Garoppolo at the end of the day. I mean, he made a boatload of money and went to a good team, a team that he wanted to go to, apparently, and, you know, crushed it at the contract tables. But still, if Garoppolo wanted it to work in New England, Yee was not going to make it so. He would have to fire Yee because if Yee had worked out a deal with Garoppolo and the team and worked out a bridge deal, Brady would look at Yee and say, what are you doing facilitating my ouster? What are you doing facilitating the contract for the guy that wants my job? You're fired.
Oh, yeah. No. Brady was always going to have the agent there.
So Garoppolo was never going to get the most out of Yee being on the same team with Brady. So why would Garoppolo ever have signed with Don Yee? I think it's a fair question. I don't get it. I don't know.
Well, I'm assuming he picked him before the draft. Like most of those guys declare, have an agent lined
right,
up.
That's right.
So now the only question is whether once he got drafted by New England, he would have reevaluated and said, I can't do this.
Right.
But by then, he might have already signed on. He's got him for a minimum of 4 or 5 years or whatever. Like, I don't know what the terms are in some of those contracts, but they do have binding deals.
Right.
You know, and then, so, I don't know. I mean, but he had to pick him before the draft.
The thing about Brady's motivation. Okay, so it goes back to where it was before Garoppolo got here. That's still really good. I mean, it's not MVP, but it's still really, really good. So it's not like he's going to suck. But I'm sort of wondering myself, like, what happened to, I'm playing to 45 and I have all the answers. This is the summer of the family, he said. He told Michael Strand, this summer's about my family, which is great. And that means you're a good person, but that means it's less about football. So that's not what I'm looking for. And again, it's aggravating that he decides the offseason after they trade Garoppolo to pull this thing.
That's because we're living in 2018 AG after Garoppolo.
So it's frustrating. You know, Brady's going to be good. Just that little sliver of work that he doesn't put in, that he's devoting to the family, is that going to show up on the field? I don't know. We'll see.
It's going to have to eventually.
Here's the here's a word from our sponsors, and we're back with you on an Agenda Free Friday.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-competitive.
And Mass.
Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Right at the net, Paquette shoots. Stick save made by Rask. And then he got a couple of bodies crashing in, and Rask just took a swing at Konecker, and he's going at it. Look out! It's a free-for-all left of the net as Rask was firing blockers and gloves.
Here comes Vasilevsky down. The referee just intercepted him. He was on his way to Tuukka Rask.
And then he got a pile of bodies at the bottom of the left-wing circle, but Rask was irate after Konecker crashed into him. And at the bottom of the pile is Cedric Paquette.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much. What do you got?
I just think that Torrey Krug doesn't get enough love around yet. I mean, I think he's having a fantastic season. The way that Cassidy's letting him play offense, you know, he's a very small defenseman in this league, and I just think he opens up so much. You know, he has 57 points right now, and I really think that he could be a good consideration for a Norris Trophy. Do I think he has a chance of getting it? 0%. But I think that we're really overlooking what this kid has done for this team.
Okay. Offensively, recently, he's been nasty. He's been outstanding.
And we were just talking about this during a break a little while ago. I'll give you the numbers if you want.
Please.
So remember, he got off to a really bad start. Didn't he have an injury at the end of camp, like a knee or something? And he came in. He started off really slow because he missed time. And we said, well, maybe it's just him catching up, like, what the hell? But in the first 8 games, he was a minus 10. 8 games into the year, he was a minus 10. And I think he had 2 points. Okay, since that time, 55 points in 62 games, and he's a plus 16. So he's plus 6 overall for the year. I mean, I'm no Krug guy because I think he's vulnerable back there in the playoffs, especially. He could show up. We'll see how it goes. Game becomes a little bit more physical, but there's no doubt. I mean, he is pumping out points like nobody's business.
So he is, Torrey Krug, is 7th in the league in scoring among defensemen. 7th in the league in scoring. John Carlson, Brent Burns, John Klingberg, Shane Gothisbehere. In Philadelphia, Erik Karlsson, Victor Hedman, Torrey Krug. Torrey Krug is more offensive production right now than, I just want to make sure I got this right, he's tied with Drew Doughty.
He's ahead of Subban.
Has more points than Subban, more points than Yandel, more points than Petrangelo. And on down the line, he's had an elite offensive year, more points than Chris Letang. So he's been outstanding. And, like, I mean, just the quality of some of the stuff recently. I mean, the goal that he scored to tie it in Winnipeg the other night was ridiculous.
Yeah.
The pass last night was ridiculous.
The great pass.
So he's been outstanding offensively. Tremendous. Again, defensively, I think he was a liability early in the year. He was. And I still don't, well, look, I mean, he's been great. I mean, there's nothing else to say. I still think, ideally, he's a third-pairing D.
He had 21 points on the power play. And look, that shouldn't be a negative against him. That's why he's there, right? I mean, that's one of his real strengths. But, it's almost 40% of his output comes on the power play.
All right. Time for Carlton in Tampa. Carlton, what do you got for us today?
I think it's hysterical that Felger's worried about the Chinese celestial palace destroying his world. And he's not even noticing that Darth Belichick has already achieved just that. You know, Belichick was constructively and effectively fired on the Tuesday after the Super Bowl, but his retirement, cough, cough, has been delayed to save his face. And so now the evil Machiavellian Belichick is trying to get Tom up and out of there, quote, voluntarily, before Belichick's midnight hour is up. And so what is the evil Belichick doing? Well, he's letting his left tackle walk, protecting his blind side, okay? We got absolutely nothing to back him up. We let his safety blanket go to sunnier shores in Miami. We let the most dominant offensive player in the NFL other than quarterbacks twist in the wind and consider an acting career. And if all that doesn't work to get Tom up and out of there, we're going to bring in the poster child for irresponsibility and undisciplined behavior to back up Tom. And Tom's supposed to take all this crap. This after, Belichick throws him under the bus for Belichick's cheating scandal and costs Tom his 6th ring by sitting the cornerback for the entire Super Bowl because Belichick's a vindictive toolbox. And so, guys, this is showdown at the OK Corral. You got to pick your sides. This is good versus evil, and we're going to be able to see who comes out ahead in the end. But the days of harmony and Super Bowl trophies and everybody being on the same page in Foxborough, they are over, guys.
Okay, you got all that, Murray?
How many old references can I make? It's the battle of good versus evil, the shootout at the OK Corral. And let me butcher this name, Machiavelli. He's right up there with Arthur Stottle. Not one of my better calls, guys.
He's big on the Belichick was effectively fired thing with the McDaniels situation.
But oh, God. I think Belichick effectively walked.
He lost me in there a little bit, but
there was so much.
So he let the left tackle go and one of his boys in Amendola go, and Gronkowski's still not in the fold. So there is something there to keep an eye on in terms of...
Well, it's still not right.
It's still not... It doesn't feel right.
Until Brady's contract is redone or Gronk is back, how could you feel otherwise?
You can't. And again, I come back to that whole thing of, all right, Tom, you don't want to redo your deal? Okay, no problem. And Mark, I think, were you the first one who introduced that idea? It might have been you. Like, okay, you don't want to do the deal, no problem. Solder, bye-bye. Amendola, bye-bye.
No, that was you.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just so accustomed to stealing ideas that I sometimes think I must steal my own. But I wonder now with Gronk if it isn't the same thing. Now they're looking at a deal for Gronk. Tom, what are we doing here? Are you redoing your deal or not? No? Well, then we got to let Gronk go. So you decide. And then Tom can't blame anybody. So, Tom, this is how we've operated for 18 years. All of a sudden now we're going to change? You're going to change? Well, if you're going to change, then we're going to change. We have to do it a different way. We're going to draft a new tight end, and we're going to trade Gronk.
Ugh, here's Dan in the car. What's up, Dan? What do you got on the Celtics?
Maz, you talk about being infatuated with the big men in the next draft, but there's a marquee 6 to 10 big men in the league. Which one of them has worked out and won a championship since Tim Duncan? And even before Tim Duncan, it was Hakeem Olajuwon. I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
Yeah, so I would tell you that they're all young still. That's what I would tell you. I mean, Davis, Towns, and Bede. All three of those guys are still pretty young. So Davis has been in the league a little bit now, but he hasn't had a lot of help either.
I mean, if I had said Garnett, does that count?
Sure.
I mean, I don't know if it was...
Yeah.
Perk was the 5, I understand.
No, but Garnett... But
the big guy.
Yeah, but Garnett was...
6'11".
He was the center of the defense. So, you know, you can call him a power forward all you want. The defense was built around him. And he was a presence in the paint and had an offensive game. Yes, he counts.
Thank you.
He absolutely counts.
So, to the caller, if there's a talented big man there, you don't want him? Because centers don't win? You'd pass on Embiid? You'd pass on... Anthony Davis?
So I'm not telling you it's impossible to win without one. I mean, look at the league now. Golden State, but again, Golden State to me is sort of a bad example because they are maybe the most prolific shooting team in the history of the league. Like, you've got snipers all over the floor, you know, between those three guys, Durant, Curry, and Klay Thompson. They're all historically good shooters from long range. So that's a hard one to replicate. I just think that, you know, if you have a big man in there and he can stay healthy, you get a chance of winning a bunch.
Matt in Raynham. What do you got, Matt?
Hey, guys. It seems like this Malcolm Butler story has more sides to it than the JFK assassination. So my question is something that has bothered me for weeks and weeks since that Super Bowl is, and especially on the heels of the SI article that just came out, why did Butler not go to McCourty or even Matt Patricia or even Patricia and Josh McDaniel go up and corner Belichick and say, we need this guy in the game? If they had to do a mutiny at halftime to get this guy in the game, did someone speak out? Is Belichick so above reproach that they couldn't go in and someone forced the hand and Patricia say, this is my defense, I'm putting this guy in the game, we need to make plays? Can you guys comment on that?
Yeah, my guess is Bill's not challenged like that. But if you listen to other people, they would have you believe that it was Patricia or McCourty or someone who felt that Butler didn't deserve to play and told Bill, do not play him. He's out to lunch. And Bill was merely following the advice of one of his underlings or a strong player. What Bedard reported was a strong defensive voice. So Patricia, McCourty, Stephen Belichick, whoever, that Bill was merely taking the advice of someone underneath them, never mind someone underneath them telling Bill he had to play. So, you know, again, who the hell knows? But, you know, for all the times they tell me that, yeah, Bill gets challenged, and yeah, there's pushback down there, and yeah, Bill encourages people to challenge him, I don't buy it. All those times I'm told it, I don't believe it.
See, I still feel like McCourty's in Bill's camp on this.
It's a fiefdom down there.
The more often than not, it feels like McCourty's comments have been more team-friendly than maybe some other players, and I don't remember if he was one of the guys that liked the post on Instagram originally by Malcolm Butler or not, and I'm starting to buy into Murray's whole theory. Devin's been a good soldier. He's a pro. He sided with Bill on this. And you know what? We're going to bring your brother in and we're going to pay him $3 million on top of it. Devin, there you go. Like, I'm starting to believe that.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, Love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ground ball to the right side. Wendell on to first. And that does it. And as painful an opening day defeat for the Red Sox as you could remember, as they fall here today, 6-4, the final score, and a ball game that never should have gotten away.
Okay, Sox back at it tonight. Mass, get you ready with the baseball reporter starting at 6. Yankees back at it tonight too, Mass?
They are, yep. They absolutely are. They're playing the Blue Jays again.
You have Giancarlo on your lap like you had yesterday?
There's a good chance of that, yes. Yeah, I have the MLB online package, so you can always watch two at the same time.
So I think a lot of people were disappointed to hear John Sterling's call of Giancarlo Stanton's home runs. Like, people were waiting, right? He didn't do it in spring. People were waiting for the first Giancarlo home run to hear.
I believe that is right.
What he was going to do. And, like, you thought it was going to be something simple. Like, what'd you say to me?
I mean, to me, like, all of his, you know, they all rhyme, right? Or and they're always pretty dumb. So I would say, how about Giancarlo hit it far low? You know, something stupid like that. But he went off the board on this one.
Well, so, for example, here was Sterling yesterday.
Swung on and into the air to deep center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. His second home run of the game. Giancarlo. No si può fermarlo. It's a Stantonian home run to dead center. A solo shot. And the Yankees take a 6-1 lead.
Okay, Stantonian, fine, right? That's Sterling-esque. But that the first part, Maz, you speak Italian, correct?
Yeah, so that second one he got right. The Italian verb to stop is fermare, right? So he says fermarlo, which is, he's saying Giancarlo can't be stopped. But the first time he did hit the home run, instead of fermare, he said stoparlo.
Hold on.
It was half English, half Italian.
Fine, let's hear the, Jimmy, do you
have
the first one?
It was like the Italian version of Spanglish.
Stanton, the National League MVP last year. Swung on and drilled to deep right center field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It is first Yankee at bat. Giancarlo. Non si può stopparlo.
See? Told you. He's all over the map. He doesn't have it polished yet. He's not ready. Like Cora.
It's so forced.
You got to dumb it down. It's too hard a name to rhyme.
They should have done it a lot simpler. Remember when Adam Jones did his impression of what he thought John Sterling was going to do?
No, go ahead.
It's high. It is far. It is in the seats. It's gone, Carlo, for John Carlo. Yes, Susan.
Even better. Even better. Good job, Jones.
It's perfect.
Oh, it is perfect. Giancarlo for Giancarlo. I like it.
Well, now there's news that Sterling has told the New York Post he plans on staying with his Stanton call in Italian. He said he thinks people will grow to like it.
No, that's dumb.
I'm going to force you to like it.
Oh, I love how this is a story, though.
Oh, yeah. No.
Everyone hated it. It's so stupid.
Oh, it is. It's dumb. Leave the foreign language out of it. Stick with English. You're broadcasting to America because most people don't know what the hell you're talking about.
And as we looked up, he's not even Italian, though, is he?
No, he's not.
But they liked the name.
Yeah, it's a good name.
Well, no, but
it is. Like, it fits him. It fits him. Maybe he's like, you know, again, Michelangelo Giancarlo.
Would you shut up? No, but like, it's, I don't know, it's just so weird that someone who's not of Italian descent would say, no, we just like the name Giancarlo. It was either that or Luigi. We just like the way it sounds. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and in the minors, they called him Mike.
So he's not even Italian.
No, he's Puerto Rican. He's part Puerto Rican and American, I think it is. He's got no Italian blood in him whatsoever. Zero.
And Sterling's down there in Italian.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's just not getting it. You know what? Jones has got the right one. Jones is good. Giancarlo for Giancarlo. Love it. That's the one. I'm going to tweet
it. It's high. It is far. It is in the seats. It's Giancarlo for Giancarlo. Yes, Susan.
All right, we wrap it up with your calls here on Agenda Free Friday, everything being on the board. Pete and Milton, what do you got for us today?
I bet you guys that Terry Rozier is out tomorrow night due to severe chafing because his balls were dragging all over that gym floor the other night. And I hope you guys saw that game. It was actually a sneakily terribly sloppy game, and it was tough to watch. How the Jazz threw that away was incredible, but I think it's a testament of what this city, particularly the Bruins and the Celtics, are capable of right now. And I'm telling you, the Red Sox, I think they better tread carefully, because the one team that preaches and praises all this fun having and this go be lucky whole attitude they might be in the gutter before we know it, while the other two teams who we don't hear any of that from, that they're who we're going to be watching and talking about.
So market share, they're behind the eight ball here in the spring. If the Bruins live up to what it looks like they are, I'm not worried about the Celtics. I mean, the injuries notwithstanding, I think the Celtics are more established that I can expect them to be a couple rounds at least, you know, and get to a LeBron series. And, you know, I expect the Celtics to be there. The Bruins, again, as good as they've looked, still have to see it a little bit. But if all those things shake out the way it looks, yeah, it's going to be hard to watch baseball.
It's going to be
watch these playoff hockey games, these playoff basketball games, and then go watch, you know, Joe Kelly scratch himself and throw the ball 2 feet outside. You know, it's going to be hard.
Well, look, and again, you know, we haven't even talked about this part of the game because there was so much material from that Red Sox loss yesterday. But the game in the first six innings, seven.
It moved, huh?
Flying. No mound visit. Sale was on the mound. I mean, it was like 2 hours in, they were in the eighth inning. And then Kelly get in again. Kelly couldn't throw strikes. Started picking his nose between pitches and whatever else, and, you know, taking forever out there, and all of a sudden the game started dragging on. And I didn't even look at the final time of game, but I'm willing to bet it was over 3 hours.
Okay, we've been talking a lot here about the heavyweight division, and we're starting to buy into it, and we've given you Deontay Wilder, his big fight a couple weeks ago. This weekend, Anthony Joshua in Britain fights tomorrow night. Free fight, showtime, 5 p.m., the card starts. So you can all see it. The heavyweight division is back, and no one knows it. But there's these two great heavyweights who are circling each other, Deontay Wilder, the American, Anthony Joshua, the Brit. They're both undefeated. Joshua is fighting on Saturday. If he wins, that should set up Wilder-Joshua, and we're finally going to get that fight. Although you never know, the promoters may not let it happen, and they may not get that deal done. But Joshua is fighting another undefeated fighter, Smoking Joe Parker from New Zealand. And again, that's going to be Saturday night. So Felger and Maz have gotten a little bit of the heavyweight bug here.
Kiwi Joe.
And we're rooting for it. I miss boxing. I miss heavyweight boxing. And I feel like it's back. I've enjoyed the crap out of this division here the last year or so. This Deontay Wilder is a hoot. David Medford wants to weigh in on the Joshua fight this weekend. Go ahead, Dave.
All right, Maz. Keep your Parker in your pants because Joshua is going to kill him. Definitely within five. It's going to be a hell of a fight. If you watch the weigh-in today, Joshua weighed in at 242 and Parker was at 236. Just look at the image. I mean, Parker is an absolute freak monster. He's going to knock out Parker, and then hopefully we see that fight this fall between him and Wilder. Should be a great fight. Free, like you said, Felger on Showtime.
Okay, so just quick question. Like, you say he's going to kill him, but you say it's going to be a great fight. So is Parker legitimately capable of winning the fight?
Absolutely not. But, I mean, a five-round heavyweight fight where guys are going to go out there and throw, I mean, if he even wants a chance, he's going to have to throw, and he's going to absolutely have to, you know, put up a fight.
Hey, Dave,
he's going to do anything? Yeah.
Did you say five round?
Yeah, I think within five he's going to.
Oh, within five. Okay, it's not a sanctioned five round fight. You know, but this is what's the best about these fighters that we're watching. Guys go down, and they go down hard.
And Joshua's gone down, too. I mean,
I think his last fight he went down and came back up and won.
Talking about the Klitschko fight.
I think, well, whatever it was.
I don't know if it was the last one or one of the last ones. I saw the documentary on a flight I was on. And he ended up almost taking Klitschko's head off with a. Remember the punch I showed you that he
absolutely
drilled him with an uppercut.
What I'm my only disappointment is that Deontay Wilder was supposed to, the American, the guy who's, you know, undefeated too, supposed to be the opponent. He was supposed to go to Britain and be a commentator on the fight to the point where he'd be ringside and then in the ring to interview Joshua in the ring and have like a real wrestling sort of like a real challenge sort of moment. But apparently the promoters in Britain got cold feet because they were afraid of Wilder's safety, not because of Joshua's people, but because of the fans.
Correct.
Because, again, apparently the folks in Britain are a little goofy about this stuff.
As Billy would describe them.
The hooligans.
Hooligans.
Billy, did you ever pull that sound from Boomer and Carton with Deontay Wilder? Did you get that?
How could he not have?
So let's hear it.
Yeah, there's a couple cuts there.
All right, so let's hear it. I mean, let's hear it. Yeah, Jimmy, just play Deontay Wilder from today. He was on Boomer and Carton talking about this stuff.
Yeah, I need to queue it up.
Okay, queue it up, baby. Well, in the meantime, give me a little sampler of Deontay Wilder after that last fight. You got that queued up, right?
You know, a lot of people don't think that I can fight in the inside, but I had a surprise and show him. My grandma told me a long time ago I was anointed by God, and it shows each and every time. Now I can say there's no man that stepped in the ring that I haven't put on their ass, baby.
Yeah, so that's the American. And again, that is what God told Jesus, that there will be no man who steps before you who you do not put on their ass.
No, and I like how he drops in the fact that he was anointed, like he was saying he'd just come back from the grocery store.
No.
Like, you know, my grandmother told me I was anointed, so, so obviously, you know, I am.
Let me hear Wilder this morning.
in my mind, what is better than hyping this fight right here that everybody's going to be watching that night, getting in the fight face to face? Do you want to fight me, yes or no? And putting them on the spot. See, they don't want to be put on the spot. It's sad that this had to come about, because I was looking forward to coming. I was looking forward to getting in the ring. I was looking forward to making this fight bigger than it already is. You know, everybody wants this fight. You know, everybody wants to see, well, I would say everybody wants to see it. And my thing is, you know, his promoter talk about, I don't want it if I'm not there. This is, but you know, that ain't the case. But
who is his promoter?
The promoter is Eddie Hearns.
Okay.
And right now he wants to put another guy that's in his stable on me instead of Joshua. See, this is what he want to do.
Enough is enough with this, man.
It's time. It's time to fight. I want the fight.
You want the fight. Boxing fans want the fight. Everybody wants the damn fight.
So, I'm into it. I want the fight.
Oh, for sure. We got to get this guy in studio.
Deontay?
Oh, yeah. We got to get him here.
He's got to be available. I mean, it's not like it's gotten big yet.
Oh, I think we got to get him up here. We got to get him on the simulcast. We got to get him in here. Seriously. That would be awesome.
With the full getup.
Absolutely. Mask and all. But we tell him we can wear our own garb.
Okay, so here's... Maz, I want to see you in
I bring my belts.
Exactly. So we got that Saturday night. We've got a Chinese space station careening towards Earth.
Tumbling.
Set to, yes, because it's tumbling, the scientists can't figure out where and when it's going to land, because it's tumbling. They need it to be a perfect spiral for them to know exactly when and where it's going to land. Because there's a little wobble to it, like when a Tim Tebow's throws into the flat, they don't know, they can't tell if it's going to hit in Buffalo or Cape Town, South Africa. And they can't tell if it's Saturday afternoon or Sunday night, because it could be anywhere between those things. So, again... If you think science is good enough to handle asteroids and all this stuff, we can't even handle the Chinese space station. That's happening this weekend. And between the two, hopefully it doesn't land until I can watch the fight. Let me watch the fight first. And then you want to come careening to Earth, come careening to Earth.
It's going
to
be a good week.
And then we got, yeah, you keep saying April's the best.
It is the best. We got a great week coming up. The space station, the fight, the Masters, the draft's coming soon. If you care about it, the NCAA championship, basketball playoffs, NHL playoffs, baseball started. The Yankees are coming in on the 11th. This is great.
WrestleMania, New Orleans, yeah.
And Mass, put the space station on the list. I
like
that.
Yeah, it's all part of the parcel here. Okay.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blunt force trauma.
We're gonna run him right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So you want to set this up?
Sure. I meant to run this earlier and I forgot. Apologies to Hardy, but it's the Fuppets.
No, we did run it earlier.
You know, I meant to run it twice earlier. I wanted to run it three times because I thought it was worth it. They put some extra work in. If you're listening on the radio, you're not going to get the flavor. It's pretty much a replay of the Bruins commercial. Too young. Hardy took that sound. Went across the street during Bruins practice with the Fuppets and recreated the 2-2 Young commercial with the Felger and Maz Fuppets in the stands at the Warrior Ice Arena across the street there on the pike from us.
It's brilliant.
And redid the Fuppets. And it's brilliant. And he even got some Bruins, I would say personnel, but some Bruins characters involved in the thing as well. So if you're listening on the radio, you're just going to hear that commercial. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you'll see the full effect. We'll post it on our Twitter, Facebook pages, etc., etc. But this week's edition of The Fuppets, courtesy of Hardy.
This is why I think the big issue with the team is there's too many young guys. There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing. I think the Bruins season is over. I think they're done. Too young.
And if you're listening, I'll just tell you, it ends with Blades, the mascot, dope slapping me in the back of the head. And the final board on the commercial is listen to no one, parentheses, named Felger. Which is what they really meant to say in the commercial, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And when you say Blades gave you a dope slap, he, the Felger Fuppet.
The Fuppet, correct.
He gave your Fuppet a dope slap.
He gave us what Wiggy would call a Jaquanda, which I still don't even know, really know. That is the back of the head dope slap, he
yes,
claims. That's
yes,
what you
indeed.
Call that.
Yep. And the Fuppet was down for the count. Yeah. He was another one that Deontay Wilder put on their ass, baby.
But it was all in good fun, though, because there is an additional photo of Blades on the Felger Fuppet, which we've also posted on the
So Felger apparently the Felger
page.
Fuppet and Blades made up and had a feel-good moment at the end of the session.
I think they went out and threw a couple back together.
I just like the fact that Hardy
smoked
pulled
some weed in the back.
Hardy pulled this off at the Warrior Ice Arena during a practice. Like, you can see the footage.
Oh,
of,
no, the Bruins are shooting the puck into the glass behind him and all of that.
They
yep.
had to have been like, who is this lunatic with puppets
with the
here?
Puppets.
What are you doing?
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.